103.2 Dublin City FM for the best in all sports coverage, analysis, interviews and reports.
GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM.
With Mick Hanley, Suzanne Parker and Peter Brannigan.
In association with Tipperary Natural Mineral Water. Hello, good evening and welcome to GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM in association with Tipperary Natural Mineral Water. And a thanks to John and the Live Drive team for getting you home safely this evening. And Live Drive will be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. Now, we have a packed show on GAA Sports Desk this evening. We're going to be speaking to Mick O'Grady as he looks back on the Dublin Senior Hurling Championship final between Kilmacud Crokes and St Jude's. And Conor McKeown is going to be looking back on that game, as well as looking back on the Dublin Senior Football final, which saw Vincent's defeat Oliver Plunkett's. Tommy Doran, the Kilmacud Crokes Intermediate Ladies Manager, is going to be speaking to us after their Leinster Championship victory. And Ray Dorney, the Senior Ladies Manager with Nafina, is going to be speaking to us ahead of their Leinster final this weekend. And we're also going to be speaking to Brendan Cooper about all of the latest camogie action in Dublin. And remember, if you want to contact us in the studio, you can. The email address is gaasportsdesk@dublincityfm.ie. You can go onto our Facebook page, which is GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM, or you can text us straight in the studio here, which is 087 977 1032. But we start with that Dublin Senior Hurling Championship final in Parnell Park on Friday night. Kilmacud Crokes defeated St Jude's, and earlier on this evening I spoke to their manager Ollie Baker and put it to Ollie that he must be delighted on a personal level to win in his first season.
Absolutely thrilled. It was a great night, a great game, very exciting conclusion to the whole evening. So it was brilliant to be part of, obviously, yeah, and all the more because we came out the right side of it.
Yeah, indeed, and I suppose in particular you must be delighted with the character that the lads showed. Ross O'Carroll getting that goal with about 10 minutes to go, and then Shawnee McGran and Damien Kelly scoring very late on to force extra time.
Look, at with 2 minutes to go, you'd say we were dead and buried. We didn't look like we were going to create anything, and the lads showed great character coming back and forcing the replay. And look, at we've been saying all year, there's many ways that you can win hurling matches and win any match, you just ultimately it all boils down to your character and your own desire and commitment. And lads have been doing that all year in training, and it was great to see him bringing that to the forward in when it came to match day. And it's just brilliant, and it just gives that little extra bit of a bounce as well going into, I suppose, the game on Sunday as well. That we've got confidence in ourselves now, and we're not worried about not putting in 100% performances now, that we can know that we have the character and we've been there and dug deep and kind of been able to answer it.
Yeah, and I suppose you mentioned that, Vince. Was the performance maybe an extra time a little bit of a fairer reflection of where this Crokes team are at the moment?
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say you'd have to throw your hats off to St Jude's during the game. It's just that we have a depth in our panel that maybe that we've certainly known all throughout the whole season. And I think last Friday evening was the first night that we were able to express that. And like, we used 22 players during the game, and that one came in to have an adverse effect on our performance. So I mean, it just shows that the talent that's there at the moment in Kilmacud, and kind of that certainly helps when it comes to dealing with a panel that everyone is making contribution.
And yeah, and you mentioned obviously Sunday's game in Parnell Park taking on Rathdowney Errol, and I suppose the disappointment of what many of the team would have felt 2 years ago against Owlert, I suppose that's driving them on, and this is a chance to maybe go for a run in Leinster as well.
I'm experienced enough now, having been through a couple of different provincial club campaigns, that you take one game at a time. You can get carried away and say that what happened 2 years ago might have some effect, reflection on what's going to happen this year. It doesn't. It's all about weather conditions can have as much of a bearing on a match than even, we'll say, the quality and skill of players, you know. So they're all aspects that you have to take into account when you're getting ready for provincial campaigns, and we're just delighted to be there. We're going to give it our best shot. We're not looking past next Sunday. I can assure you of that. And it's just brilliant to be there, as I said.
And our thanks indeed to Ollie Baker for giving us his time earlier on this evening. And hopefully Kilmacock Crokes can secure a victory on Sunday out in Parnell Park. The game is thrown in at 2:30. So if you are about, get out and support Kilmacock Crokes as they represent Dublin in the Leinster Club Hurling Championship. Now, earlier on this evening, I caught up with Mick O'Grady, the chairman of the Friends of Dublin Hurling, and we looked back at the same game. Well, Mick, Kilmacock Crokes picking up their second senior hurling title in Dublin here in the last 3 years, defeating St Jude's after extra time on last Friday evening. So I suppose it was a very tight game. Crokes just about staying in at normal time, but then pushing on in extra time.
Yeah, surely. You know, going into the game, we all thought the Crokes would win the game. Maybe, you know, they would maybe pulling up at the end, you know. But that wasn't to be. And in actual fact, I think Crokes felt they got out of jail because they got the equalising point in the last minute to get a draw. And, you know, Jude's were superb on the night. You know, I think they surprised everybody, maybe not themselves. I never saw them playing so well. 15 men who were simply, you know, totally up for the game, very, very fit, hunted in packs, closed down Kilmacud in every way. Kilmacud simply couldn't get space to breathe almost. They were so well blocked, harried, hassled, hooked and so on. And, you know, obviously led by Danny Sutcliffe, who had an outstanding game. He has shown that he's a hurler supreme, and he's a leader definitely and a future captain of Dublin, if not this term. The next term, he's such an impressive player. He leads by example, he walks the talk, and but he had 14 guys around him who played exceptionally well. And, you know, at the end, I knew once the draw was got by Kilmacud, they would win the extra time, because that's always the way.
Yeah.
Kilmacud felt they had come out of jail, and the boys, Jude's, felt they had lost the game, and that's what happens normally, the extra time. But a wonderful game of hurling. Kilmacud, fair play to them, dug deep, stuck in there, and I think full marks to Russell Carroll, who had a wonderful game, got the goal, and he made the point that led to the draw. And he also made a goal in the second half when Tim McCulloch got a goal to put away the 4 or 5 point lead.
Yeah.
So Ross, you know, who was on the Dublin panel a few years ago, on that form last Friday night, I think could be back in the panel. Not sure what age he is, but he's still young enough.
Yeah.
Played exceptionally well, played a mature game of hurling, and I think only for him, Tim McCulloch would have been in trouble.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned his goal with about 10 or so minutes to go, which got them back level. And then how well himself and Shawnee McGrath played. Shawnee McGrath getting a 65 late on and then getting a goal and added time. And these were two of the crucial players for Crokes to make sure they won the game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so he was involved in the two goals. He was involved in the winning point. And, you know, he did a lot of good things, played a lot of direct hurling, played ground hurling. And, you know, showed a great maturity, I thought, for us. And I know he's a mature player, but he was exceptional, I felt. Felt a very, very good game. And himself and Danny, to me, were the two stars in the night. And both of them deserved the All-Star Awards. They played so well. But it wasn't to be. Tim McCullough, a fine team. I think played below par, probably, were surprised by Jude's. And they're better than they played. They probably played better in the extra time because they kind of felt this was their chance. And they're heading in now to Leinster Club. And I believe they're really, I think they're much a very good team. I think they have a real chance if they can get over to take every hurdle that comes down, starting next week with the Laois champions.
Yeah, they're taking on Rathdowney Errol. And I suppose the thing with both Dublin and Laois in recent years in the Leinster Hurling Championship is that I suppose it's a lack of victories. I believe Rathdowney recorded the only victory by a Laois side in the Leinster Club Hurling Championship, the big Clonkill of Westmeath in 2012. And Dublin club side's only victory in the same period is Ballyboden's in 2011. So I suppose for either team, it'd be great just to get a victory and maybe get a bit of momentum going.
Well, you know, the good thing is Kilmacud won the Dublin Club 2 years ago, so they kind of, they won't be, I presume, over-celebrating as we talk. I presume they're back to basics, they're back to training. I said, with Ollie Baker in charge, they're doing that. Probably had one good night, Friday night, maybe Saturday night, and that was it. Because they really should give it a, you know, they're now representing Dublin. And, you know, Ballyboden were very unlucky in a few times not to have won the Leinster Club. They tried very, very hard. Crave Curran did it before them, you know, Hughes did it for a while, you know, and now it's Kilmacud's chance. They have a real, real chance. But they'll have to hurl a bit better than they played last day. But I believe that they're good lads. A lot of them have played for Dublin. They would like now to add a Leinster title to the crown. And there's no reason they cannot do it. but they must start next week, you know. The Dublin final is over. They're champions, but they must start all over again. The Laois hurlers are always difficult players to beat, especially in winter time.
Yeah.
When the scoring is low, you know, it's not, you're not talking about 225 to 224. It's always, you know, 113 to 112 or indeed less than that. So it's about taking the chances, you know, and digging deep, not giving away frees, you know, matches are won by frees. And I suppose, in fairness, you know, Kilmacud in the county final gave away a lot of frees. You know, and that will be costly in the Leinster club. But I believe they have a real chance, and I really hope they can go all the way to give Dublin Hurling a boost for the end of 2014.
Yeah, indeed. And I suppose home advantage might give them something to build upon. And I suppose the fact that they were so close against Éireann Tabhála back in 2012, I believe they lost by a point in Parnell Park. There's great motivation there if it wasn't there already.
Oh, there is, yeah. I think the fact that they were there 2 years ago is a big plus. They know what it's like. They know they were so near. Arlott were, you know, Arlott had lost, I think it was 4 Leinster finals in a row. An extraordinary record, you know, but Kilmacud now, they're a very ambitious club, they're a great hurling club, and I believe they are going to go for it. And their intention will be to be Leinster club champions by the early December.
Yeah, and hopefully it'll be great for Dublin Club Hurling if they could do it. But Mick, before I let you go, the Friends of Dublin Hurling are having their celebration night, which we spoke about recently on the phone, but there's only a few tickets left, I believe, and it's coming up on November 14th.
Yeah, things are going well. You know, we've announced the winners now at this stage. It is known who the winners are of all the different clubs of the year, the schools of the year, and we hope that will attract maybe people from those clubs to celebrate on the night. Tickets are going well. It's on Friday the 14th of November in the Red Cow, starting at 7:30, sitting down at 7:30 sharp. It's always a very good night. The Hall of Fame winner will be announced on the night. It's always a special kept to the last minute. And it's a very, very worthy winner, I guarantee you. As they all have been, and it's always a great night. We look forward to it, and it's a night when kind of hurling people meet and have a chat and sit down and talk. And afterwards, we're finished by 10. So between 10 and 12, people sit down, walk around, meet people from other clubs. Normally, they're arguing and fighting with clubs. On that night, they can sit down and have a good chat and kind of have reminiscing of what happened during the 12 months that just gone by. So tickets are available. And they're still available, and hopefully we'll have a big crowd on the night.
Indeed, and as you mentioned, we don't know the Hall of Fame winner yet, but we do know that Alan Nolan has claimed the Hurler of the Year, and Colm Cronin has claimed the Young Hurler of the Year by the Friends of Dublin Hurling Awards.
That's right, yeah. They were, you know, Alan Nolan, he had a great year. That guy has been sub goalie for the last so many years, you know, and it shows a great commitment to a club or to a county that he stood in there. And Alan has been a great guy. When he's called on for Dublin down the years, he always was there. But this year, he had an exceptional year. Actually, I'm here in Wexford at the moment reading Tom Dempsey in the local paper. Tom Dempsey reckoned that Alan Nolan should have got the All-Star Award for goalkeeping. And so that means that's how good he was. He was very, very close to it. He was in the last three, as you know, for the goalkeeping All-Star. And probably hit a few more matches. And you know, he had a very good year. He's a very good lad, a great motivator, and a very humble person. And, you know, I think he well deserves the award of the Adult Hurler of the Year. Colm Cronin is a young lad coming on. Had a very good year, just out of minor. And, you know, he's a really, really strong half-forward. It's very hard to find forwards today. I think he's a very, very good future. So he was also very worthy. He got a lot of votes from a lot of people who felt that he was the Young Hurler of the Year and deserved it. He's going to be a hurler of the future, we hope.
And our thanks, as always, to Mick O'Grady. Now, in ladies' football, Kilmacud Crokes were crowned the Intermediate Leinster Champions, and I had the pleasure of speaking with their manager, Tommy Dorn, earlier today. Tommy, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
Suzanne, it's very nice to be back. It means that we're still in the championship and doing something right.
Fantastic. Congratulations on the win. How are you feeling after winning the Leinster Intermediate Final?
Absolutely fantastic. We're all over the moon. It's the first time Kilmacud Crokes ladies have won a Leinster title. It's just absolutely fantastic. I mean, there's a great buzz around the place.
Mm.
And we've had a fantastic weekend.
Yeah. How did celebrations go?
Well, they weren't mooted, I must admit. they were loud and noisy, and fair play to the girls. They sang the whole way back from Kinnegad on Sunday, and everybody was in great form. I mean, it'll go on for... Well, I think it's almost coming to an end now at this stage. I mean, it was great to have the bank holiday, so...
Yeah.
I think I was quoted somewhere else saying that we'd celebrate like the Irish soccer team when they were under Jack Charlton, and I think the girls did that. So, yeah.
well deserved, exactly.
Yeah,
it was a tough game for them. Tell me a little bit about the game.
Yeah, by far our toughest challenge to date during the Leinster campaign. We always knew that it was going to be a very, very tough game and close game. They have some excellent players. I mean, they have a number of, Noel Healy and Roisin Byrne were, in particular, two standouts who were very, very strong. And they have a number of girls who played on the Kildare minor team this year as well. So
yeah,
we know that they were going to be very, very good, and they were very well organised. And the conditions on the day weren't the greatest. There was a very strong breeze blown across the pitch, which made it difficult, particularly for forward shooting.
Mm.
And, the game started out, I think the first score of the game, but we came back quickly after that and started to take a little bit of control. Again, it was difficult, and a few missed chances. We hit the crossbar and uprights, but thankfully we nudged ahead, and then we got a couple of goals, which really settled us in the first half. So we were, I think it was 6 points up at half time, which was a nice cushion to have.
Yeah.
Then we kind of traded points for a while, and with a couple of minutes to go, it started to get a little bit tense. We were still the 5 or 6 points up, and then they got a goal to bring it back to a goal difference. But there wasn't much time left at that stage, and our defence was being really tough. And thankfully, we got two nice points at the end to, give us that little bit of cushion of 5 points and get on into an All-Ireland semi-final. So,
and you've made history for the club. It's a great achievement.
Yeah, I mean, Kilmacud Crokes have been, renowned for successes in recent times in hurling and men's football. And even on Sunday, the Camogie section, they were playing in a county final as well. So they won, and having the hurlers win on Friday night, we were under a little bit of pressure to bring home a championship, a Leinster championship. So we were delighted, and everybody involved with the men or the ladies section is absolutely thrilled and delighted. And it gives a lot of the teams coming up, the underage teams, a platform or a target to aim at in the coming years. So there was a lot of underage girls at the game as well, and they were all ecstatic, and it's fantastic to see the buzz in the club at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, looking back at the season that you've had, I think you started off the season back in May playing Round Tower, Clontarf, St Margaret's, and then the county final against Parnells. Was it always in sight for you to go ahead and go into Leinster and then to win Leinster?
We started out way before that, back in January, and We've had this. I've been involved with this bunch of girls for the last 3, and this is my 4th year. And we could see the potential there. And having won a number of underage championships in the last couple of years, the potential was definitely there to be successful in Dublin and Leinster and go on. And that was kind of one of our targets, was to win Dublin and have a good run in Leinster.
Yeah.
At least get to a Leinster final. We thought we had that potential, and we targeted and we planned our campaign this year that we wouldn't overdo it at the start of the year. We would work on our fitness and our skills and develop. And I think even at this time of year, the girls are somewhat fresh. They're feeling a little bit tired, obviously, after 3 tough games in Leinster, but they still have a bit of energy left in them, which is good.
Well, that's good. Looking forward to the All-Ireland. You're going to be playing in the All-Ireland semi-final, I think around the 15th or 16th of November. Is that right, dates or not?
Yeah, that's right, Suzanne. The dates aren't confirmed yet. Our opponents aren't confirmed yet. It's either going to be Castle Island Desmonds or Dunedin from Edinburgh. They're actually playing this weekend over in Edinburgh.
Okay.
So we'll wait and see who we're playing there. And, if it's Castle Island that get through, the game will be down in Kerry. So it'll be a Dublin-Kerry match. And that brings, a lot of rivalry and a lot of past history. So and a lot of challenges having to get the logistics right and everything. So, but those plans are already underway, and we'll see. And if Dunedin get through, then it'll be a home game for us. So, you know, we'd like that very much.
Exactly.
But, a game against Castle Island, I think, would be something special as well, you know.
Yeah. And coming out of the Leinster final and looking forward to the All-Ireland, will you be making many changes, or are you making preparations yet for the All-Ireland?
Well, definitely for the All-Ireland semi-final, the preparations are underway. We had some discussions yesterday and today already, and, you know, we've got 3 weeks to prepare. We've got a Dublin minor ladies final on Sunday, so some of the girls will be involved in that. So at this stage, it's a little bit of fine-tuning, you know, working on a few little things from the weekend, but primarily making sure girls get plenty of rest. You know, it's been, you know, a long season as it is, but
yeah.
I think our girls are you know, I've always said our team is incredibly intelligent. The girls are very smart. They've been playing football for a number of years, and they know, you know, they know themselves what they're capable of, and if they're tired, you know, they're very honest and open. They'll tell us if they're tired or injured, and it's a big plus to have, so that girls aren't, you know, feeling under pressure that they've got to, you know, commit to every training and even if they're injured. So we'll be looking and monitoring over the next couple of days to see if there's any negative reactions to the game, because it was a physical game. It was a tough game. And the conditions, as I say, it was very windy, and it took a lot out of the girls, needless to say, the celebrations as well. So,
well, I know I've asked you before, and I always ask you who was standing out during the game, but I think I've already read your answer saying that all 15 of them, it was a full team effort.
Yeah, it was a full team effort. The two girls that came on as subs, Una Murphy and Helen Egan. Una was a starter in some of the earlier rounds. Helen hadn't got much game time up until now, but, you know, as I said, we monitor them, what they're doing in training and some of the challenge matches, and we see who's performing well. And, you know, one thing we're not afraid to do is change it around. I mean, we brought in some new players who hadn't played in some of to start in the earlier rounds. So, you know, we'll be looking at that again. And our defense was fantastic on Sunday. I mean, We knew we were going to be under the cosh a lot of the times, and we told them not to panic. You know, don't start, you know, just kicking the ball willy-nilly back out, because it'll come back in equally as fast. Our forwards, you know, we knew they would have to do a lot of defensive work as well, and they were prepared for that. So we had a pretty good game plan. The girl who got man of the match, Rachel Gallagher, I'm absolutely delighted for her, because she's a very quiet girl and doesn't say too much, but she's been working incredibly hard, and she's had a very, very good season so far. And I mean, it's a testament to our team, and we've always said it was been a panel.
Yeah.
And for her to come out and win player of the match on that occasion, I'm just absolutely thrilled for her, because she has been playing really, really well.
Fantastic. Well, Tommy, thank you very much for joining me on the programme, and I wish you and the girls the very best of luck in the semi-finals.
Thank you, Suzanne, and I hope we get a chance to have another conversation in a couple of weeks. And we're talking about
looking to a final. Exactly. Thank you very much, Tommy. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
And our thanks again to Tommy, and best of luck to Kilmacud Crokes in the All-Ireland campaign. Now, I was also speaking with Ray Dorney, the manager of Nafina, who are in action this Sunday in the final of the Leinster Senior Championship. Ray, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
No problem, Suzanne, thanks.
Looking to the final that's on this Sunday, how are you preparing?
We're preparing quite well now. Everyone's in good form. We've had a couple of good, strong training sessions since the semi-final against Centralstown, so everyone's excited and raring to go for Sunday.
Yeah. You're playing against Sarsfields of Laois. Have you seen this team this year? How have they been in form?
Yeah, we would have seen them a couple of times this year. In fairness, Sarsfields are flying at the moment. They won their county final quite well, and they won their semi-final comprehensively 2 weeks ago as well. So, you know, it'll be a very tough game and a big test and a big step up for us. But I think we're definitely up for the challenge.
Yeah, and have you made many changes to the team, or what have you been working on since the last game?
Well, I won't be giving too much away, but you know, we've had two solid performances against Chandeliers and against Central Stone. But you know, we would have sat down in particular after the last game and looked at areas where we can improve. And you know, I think with a side like Sarsfields, with their experience and their quality in there, everybody's going to be happy on the top of their game on the day to push on and hopefully win the game.
Yeah, and this Laois team, they've got a few inter-county players, but so does the Nymphena team.
Yeah, that's right. So Sarsfields would have had a few with Laois this year, and a couple of our Dublin players would have played against them already this year. I think Dublin beat them in the Leinster final this year, so we'd be hoping for a repeat of that on Sunday.
Well, this is actually a repeat of the 2011 final, and Nymphena came out on top in that game. Are you expecting or hoping for the same outcome? I guess you are.
Yeah, we'd be certainly hoping for it. Expecting it is a different thing, you know.
Yeah.
For ourselves, and I wasn't involved in 2011, but it's certainly a very different look to the team than would have won that day. There's a couple of players that are still involved from 2011, but there's certainly a good few changes since then, and I know Sarsfields have a few changes since 2011 as well, so we'd be expecting the same competitive type of game, but and hopefully we get the same outcome.
Yeah, and besides yourself, I know that you're the manager of the team. Who else is involved in getting the girls together and getting them all ready for the final?
Yeah, well, we have Lynn Savage is back with us this year, and so Lynn would have been involved in 2011, so she'd have a good knowledge of a lot of teams in Leinster. Bernie Finlay is kind of along as well, as a bit of a strength and conditioning coach. Bernie used to play for Nymphena. She was around in the panel in 2011, actually. So, again, she'd know a lot of the teams, and she'd know all our players very well, too. And then we have Niall Williams as well, who's the trainer. So Niall's an excellent trainer. So we've a good team together there now, and hopefully we can get it right for Sunday.
Yeah, and are you hoping for big support from Nymphena to go to Clain?
Oh, definitely. It's not too far of a journey. It's only about 40 minutes down the road, so we'll be expecting a massive support from Nymphena, in fairness.
Yeah.
You know, everyone supported us well all throughout the year and throughout the Leinster Championships, and I think Sunday will be no different.
Yeah, and I think I spoke to you before just about the level of football in Dublin at the moment. At senior level, at intermediate, Dublin is doing fantastically in an inter-county stage.
Yeah, definitely. I think you know, it just goes to show Kilmacud Crokes winning the Intermediate Championship there last week, you know, and it just shows the level that they're at as well, and they'll probably make them step up the senior, and they'll certainly be there thereabouts in the makeup. And ourselves, you know, we'll be hoping to do ourselves justice and do Dublin justice on Sunday against Sarsfields.
Fantastic. Well, Ray, thank you very much for joining me on the programme, and I wish you the very best of luck on Sunday.
No problem. Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And our thanks again to Ray, and best of luck to Nymphena. Now we are going to take a very short break. Stay with us, we've a lot more GA action to come.
103.2 Dublin City FM, real radio for Dublin.
And welcome back to GAA Sports Desk on Dublin City FM with Peter Bragan and myself, Suzanne Parker. To get in touch with the programme, we would love to hear from you. Our text number is 087-977-1032. Now, looking to Camogie, I spoke with the vice chairman of Dublin Camogie, Brendan Cooper, about all of the action happening this weekend. But we first looked back at the Leinster campaign and Ballyboden St Enda's taking on Ellert Labala of Wexford.
Yeah, that's again for our Senior One champions to go down to Ellert came up to us. And it was a bad day at the office for Ballyboden in every sense of the word. I know they conceded seven goals and possibly 6 or 7 points to 6 points. So it was a bad day at the office. It just shows how strong Ullart are and how you know how kind of far behind we are in against other Leinster counties. We didn't expect such a beating, Suzanne, and it was a real shock to the system, not just for Ballyboden but for Dublin Camogie yourselves. So not a great day there, Suzanne, I'm afraid.
Yeah. And Thomas Davis were also out of luck as well in the Intermediate Championship semi-finals.
Yeah, again, now they were missing some players, unfortunately. They had a weakened team going down to play. But again, they came out on the wrong side of a pretty horrendous hammering as well. So from a Dublin perspective, last weekend was not a good day. A good day at the office, Suzanne. But that's all we do. We can only go out and play against the best. And unfortunately, on this occasion, our best wasn't good enough, unfortunately. So,
Yeah. And looking then to the games that are on this weekend, we're back in home and, the games that were on last weekend, the Leinster 2 Championship was on.
That's right.
St. Vincent's, I think, were up against Erin's Isle, and Erin's Isle had a good day.
Yeah, again, this was the experience of Erin's Isle versus the youth of St. Vincent's. And it was always going to be a tough match. On this occasion, Erin's Isle came out on top, and that was mainly due in part to Julie Draper, who is an ex-intercounty player but hasn't played Camogie at the level for quite some years now, but her experience was invaluable to Erin's Isle, and she was playing on number 14 court right on the square, and they just launched the ball into Julie, and you know, 7 or 8 times out of 10 she got the better of the fullback, and she started to do a lot of damage to the business, especially coming up towards the end of the first half, and it was relatively even Stephen, but she got a goal, and then they tapped on another couple of points, so turning over at half time from going to almost being level, Erin Zoyle had kind of put a little bit of distance between themselves and Vincent, and basically the second half was all one way traffic, Suzanne.
Yeah. And what will it mean now to Erin's Isle going up to Senior One?
Oh, this is a huge thing for Erin's Isle, because dropping out of Senior One there last year, which is the first time this has happened in many years for Erin's Isle, so that, and I will be part of the parcel of Dublin Camogie, and for them not to be playing in Senior One was a huge thing. For them to get back into Senior One, this was a really important match from Erin's Isle point of view, and it's the way it should be. Erin's Isle should actually be in Senior One. They've achieved that now by winning Senior Two Championship. So, as Louise O'Hara pointed out in her after match speech, this is the first time in 11 years that she's actually won some silverware with Erin's Isle, which is kind of amazing. So she would have won lots of things, but apparently not. So it was a huge day for both Louise and for Erin's Isle.
Yeah. And also the Senior Four Championship were on. Kilmacud Crokes were up against Fawn Celtic.
This was probably the most competitive match of the three there last Sunday, Suzanne. This was nip and tuck all the way along. For all intents and purposes, it looked as if it was going to go to a replay, because there was little or nothing between the two sides. And it was just the little bit of, probably Kilmacud's experience, and Rachel Nochter playing a centre-half back, who got player of the match. She probably held it together for Kilmacud when they were under a lot of pressure towards the end, and she could have a lot of dangerous play. And at the end, there was only a single point separating the two sides. Very evenly matched teams. But I think over the hours play, Kilmacud probably just about deserved to win it. And delighted for Anne and Nick Doctor, who have been soldiering away at the coalface for many years with Kilmacud, and they probably just kept that club going together from their own perspective. And it was great to see the mentors get a little bit of silverware for all their endeavours over the years. So a good day for Kilmacud, by all accounts.
Yeah. And the Senior 5 final, St. Vincent's had a great day, I think, with 3-7 to 3 points.
Yeah, again, this match was pretty much all one way, right from the word go. Vincent played with a win in the first half, and they built up quite a considerable score coming up to half-time or thereabouts. CBC, in fairness to them, their final was probably their semi-final victory over Whitehall Gales. So to come up against Vincent, who would be unbeaten in the league at Senior 5 level, it was probably a bridge too far for CBC, but tremendous respect to CBC. They fought as hard, but unfortunately at the end of the day, Vincent were a little bit too strong on this occasion. So,
yeah, and I think from speaking to you last week, there's no real shock results, and I think you even thought that the Senior 4 game would be very evenly matched.
Yeah, based on the league performance and the championship performance, both of those teams were winning well, but I had just had this impression that when they came up against each other, that there wouldn't be much in it, and so it turned out, Suzanne. It could. I mean, on a different day, next Sunday, Fawkes could easily beat Kilmacud Crokes by a point. They were very evenly matched, and it was a little bit of a wind, and the use of the wind in the first half probably just got Kilmacud across the line.
Exactly. Well, looking forward now to the games that are on this weekend. The Senior 6 Championship final is on in O'Toole Park, and it's Ballyboden, St Enda's and Castleknock.
Yeah, that's again, both of these teams are doing really well now in the championship so far. A hard one to call, so I really wouldn't like to put my neck on the block for this one. I suppose, I mean, Ballyboden with the kind of experience behind them, with the guys, they have a lot of teams to choose from, whereas Castleknock are a single unit team with just one adult team competing in the championship. So they would draw a lot of players from their juveniles or those players just out of juvenile ranks, whereas Ballyboden would be choosing from more seasoned players. I suppose if I had to say, I'd probably just give a slight nod to Ballyboden, but only by a few points, yes.
Well, you weren't wrong last week, so...
Well, you know, you have to be wrong sometimes. probably just the occasion, Suzanne.
Well, Senior 7 also have their championship final, and that's Round Towers and Ballinteer St. John's.
Yeah, Round Towers. And this, again, it's going to be a difficult one to call, Suzanne. I saw it last weekend in the semi-final that Marks would have beaten Round Towers, but... No, Round Towers played really well, and they deserved to come through to the final. So, and I've seen Ballinteer St. John's up close. I've refereed a number of their matches, and they're actually very strong all over the field. Again, tough one to call, Suzanne. I'm going to go for Ballinteer this time. They're a young club. They're kind of a very progressive club. Their senior twos got beaten in the semi-final, so they'll be hoping that their senior sevens go a couple better and actually win on Sunday. Close one, but you know, slight preferences for would be for I might change. No, I'll go for a draw on this one now. Stan Towers and Ballinteer to end in a draw, and we'll see if that one's anyway closed next week. For sure.
Well, also on Sunday morning there is the Shield final in Senior 7 on at 10:30, and that's Erin's Isle and Coola.
Yes, again Coola, very new to the adult ranks. It's their first adult team this year. They've been doing a lot of work at the juvenile level, and they used to have an adult team some years ago, and then they've not been coming through to kind of supplement that team, and eventually they just folded. So a guy called Vincent Quill and Co out there have done a huge amount of work at juvenile level, and this year is their first adult team in about 8 years, if memory serves me correctly. So they're looking forward to take on Erin's Isle again. Erin's Isle would have a lot of tradition behind them, but I think I'll go for Cooler to defeat Erin's Isle in a close run match on Sunday morning, Suzanne.
Yeah, and another Shield final. It's a busy weekend. You've got a lot of finals happening,
Suzanne. You wouldn't believe it, because apart from what we're speaking about, it's probably our busiest weekend of the whole year, because all our juvenile finals are on, our Shield finals are on. So in total, we probably have in excess of 25 finals on this weekend. How we're actually going to get to all these matches is beyond me. But we will do our best. I mean, they're in juvenile ones, for example, are in six different locations. Yeah. And the last one there that we were mentioning there was our kind of our adult final. So again, we're going to have to spread ourselves a little bit thin this weekend, Suzanne, but we'll do our best, and we'll get to all of them there now, that is no doubt.
Well, the Senior 4 final, it's St. Oliver Plunkett's Own Rua and Naoimh Murnaghan.
I think it's probably Peregrine, Suzanne, if memory serves me correctly.
You are.
And I was like, that's just from memory, because I write down so often now, it just sticks in my mind. Yeah, again, two teams that, I mean, obviously Oliver Plunkett would be probably the favourite, slight favourites on this occasion. Mm-hmm. Peregrine did really well there last year. Not quite so well this year, but again, they've been tipping along very nicely indeed. So it's going to be, you know, whoever plays better on the day, I'd say, and I'd give it to probably Oliver Plunkett's Own Rua just by a small margin, Suzanne.
Yeah. And then next Tuesday night, nearly 6 days away, the Senior 2 Shield final is going to be on, and that's Good Counsel and Lucan.
That's right. We haven't decided on a venue just yet, Suzanne. I'm trying to get a venue on the lights for them at this stage, and actually both of them are keen to find out where they're playing. I'd love to be able to tell them at this stage, but I haven't actually sourced a venue. I'll work on that now tomorrow. Two teams, Senior 2, both would love to win the Shield competition, because they got knocked out in the semi-final stages of the championship itself. So this would be small consolation for either Lucan or Good Counsel. I know both of them are very much the four in Camogie in their clubs. And again, I'll probably go for Lucan By 2 or 3 points to defeat Good Counsel on the 4th of November, I think it is, yeah.
Yeah. And then the last final going to be on this week is the Senior Three Shield final, and that's Nafina and Nave Fuinvara.
That's right. That's my own club, Nafina, Suzanne, and we're just trying to arrange a date for Nave Fuinvara because I believe a lot of their personnel have gone to Florida. I'm not quite sure what's going on in Florida, lucky. But they're not back until about the 7th or 8th of November, if memory serves me correct. So this final will probably go down for Monday the 8th or 9th, Monday the 10th, I'd say, of November. If they all get back in one piece, which hopefully they do, and hopefully that'll give Nafina the slight edge in the fact that we've been training the last number of weeks while Nathan Barr are off sunning themselves in Florida.
Fantastic. Well, at least if there's one put back a little bit, so you've got a little bit of a break from one of the games.
Not much, Suzanne, no. But then again, we're straight back into our minor championship starts on the 9th of November.
Yes.
And that goes through until the 7th of December. So although our adults are coming to an end, the minors will have to stage themselves for approximately a month. And come the 7th of September or December, we should be finished.
Not for long.
Not for long, Suzanne. You're absolutely correct, yes.
Well, Brendan, thank you very much for joining me on the programme.
A pleasure as always, Suzanne.
And I'll speak to you again next week. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Now, I caught up with Herald journalist Conor McKeown earlier this evening and we looked back at both the senior football and senior hurling championship games that took place in Dublin over the weekend. But it was with football that I started. Well, Conor, St Vincent's won their back-to-back Dublin senior football titles, defeating Oliver Plunkett's Own Rua by a point in Parnell Park on Monday evening. So yeah, as you mentioned in your article in the Herald, this is a great achievement for any team. The first time it's been done since Kilmacock Crokes in 04 and 05, and it puts them in good stead going forward into Leinster as well.
Well, it's a fine achievement, not just because it's back-to-back, but because it's back-to-back in the current era. Like, I mean, the last four or five installments of the Senior Football Championship have been as strong a county championship as I think that have been competed anywhere, you know, when you take into account... Oh, you know, there's probably four or five teams that have within their grasp to win it and probably give the All-Ireland a good crack. And then outside of that, you know, probably three or four more that, well, they might be good enough to do it on three or four separate days, would be good enough to take out one of the contenders. You know, it's a fine achievement. And even, you know, the nature of the club championship, you know, the fact that the Dublin Championship starts in May and then the All-Ireland Championship finishes in the middle of March, you know, to keep it, like, you know, to not just keep going all the way through that and win the All-Ireland, but to be able to regenerate and go again with the exact same team and win a Dublin title. And, like, let's, you know, fair play to Plunkett. They played really well, and it's harsh on a team, you know, losing the Tour County final in whatever it is, 7 years. But, like, since we're much, much better the other night, and they were probably, not probably, they were absolutely the best team in the championship.
Yeah, and I suppose Vincent's really showed their class in and around the third kind of quarter where they put a bit of distance between themselves and Plunkett's, and obviously Alan Brogan got a late goal and they pulled it back to a point with the Bernard Brogan free. But as you mentioned, Vincent's were the better side in the match.
They were a far better team. And, you know, they're the sort of team that they kind of have a bit of everything. You know, like, they have a good goalkeeper, and like Michael Savage's save in the first half when Plunkett's were 3 points up, you know, 6 points down against that sort of defence. You know, even might be a little bit too difficult for Vincent to come back from. But, you know, they've good defenders like Charlotte Corley, who's a fella that Dublin might have to look at very soon. Hugh Gill had a very good game. They have a lot of pace in their defence. Jared Brennan is a very good leader. They have a couple of big ball winners in midfield. You know, they have Connolly and they've got Mossy. And I suppose what was most impressive to me was, you know, everybody was talking about Connolly. And last year, at this time of the year, it was actually Mossy who was the best player around. But between the other four forwards in the team, Shane Carty and Gavin Bourke and Kieran Dorney and Rory Traynor, they got 10 points from play, and then I think Cameron Diamond came off the bench and kicked a point with his first touch. So, look, there's 11 points from the forwards on the team that aren't Mossy Quinn and Dermot Connolly. So it was a really, really impressive display, and I suppose that was as much symptomatic of the confidence that runs through this team and probably the confidence that comes with winning All-Ireland. And also, you know, you have to give credit to Dermot Connolly and Mossy Quinn. Like, they took two or three men with them every single time, and that gave a small bit of space for the likes of Gavin Bourke, who was exceptional, and Kieran Dorney, who had his moments as well, and Shane Carty, who during that period they talked about, kicked a couple of really good points. I mean, like, at one stage, Dermot Connolly put Rory Traynor in for a goal, and he had five men on him and still got a very good hand pass into him. So they were making the space. And, you know, speaking to Monty Quinn afterwards, he kind of made the point that, you know, their game plan is based around the very simple premise of get the ball to the guy in the best position. And if it's, you know, if Darren McConnelly has three fellas on him, well, you know, not every forward can have three fellas on him. And they have, you know, the strength of their forwards, their score taking is really well. And they weren't even that happy with their own performance, you know. Like, they won well, despite the fact there was only a point on the board. And, you know, they should have been taking a few more points in the second half. And there was a bit of messing around with the ball at the back. So, like, there is room for them to improve. And I think on that basis, they're probably favourites for the All-Ireland title now as well.
And, yeah, I suppose you touched upon there as well the fact that there was a good spread of scores. I think Vincent's had 8 different scorers in the match, whereas Plunkett's were dependent a little bit on Bernard and Allen in that they scored 1-6 out of the 1-10 total. So you mentioned it when I talked to you previously about the idea that they needed, you know, other players are going to have to step up to the mark, but they certainly did on Monday evening.
Yeah, they absolutely did. Even a fellow like Brendan Egan there, who last year I thought maybe was taking a little bit too much out of the ball, he had a really, really good game. And like, as a team, they're growing, you know. You can see the players taking responsibility for this themselves. And you know, it's a truly special achievement, you know, when you take into account that, you know, the team that Brian Mullins was on, you know, the great Simpsons team that dominated Dublin football, like, they only, I think, won one All-Ireland club championship. And, you know, for the likes of Connolly and Brennan and Michael Savage and Matthew Quinn, they've won two, and they're in a fair, they're absolutely in pole position now to go on and to give Leinster a very good rattle.
Yeah, indeed. And that first game of the Leinster Championship, I suppose it's a difficult task to go down to Port Laois. Obviously, we know their pedigree in the Leinster Football Championship. They last won it in 2009, I believe. But obviously, as you mentioned, the calibre of Dublin clubs over the last 4 or 5 years has been exceptional, and it should make for a very interesting game.
Yeah, well, there's two things. The calibre of the Dublin clubs going into the Championship over the last few years has been exceptional, but also the calibre of clubs that are coming from the other teams in Leinster have been very, very poor. Kildare and Meath, they haven't produced a really good, you know, viable contender for the club championship. You know, if anything, Rose would have been more, would have been stronger at this stage of the year than anything coming out of Meath and Kildare. And Port Laois, for their 8 county titles, have only put 2 Leinster titles together in that span of time. And I think in 5 of those years, they lost to the Dublin champions. So, you know, the thing about it is, they always say that the players who've gone through it and the management who've gone through it will always tell you that the one after you win your county title is the most difficult one. That if you win that, you know, you've put the county title to bed and the momentum kicks on again and everybody gets going. So if you can get through that, you'll build up a bit of momentum. But, you know, working against Vincent's, they have absolutely the most difficult task that they could face. Like, Port Laois are definitely the best team in Leinster outside of what's in Dublin. And playing them away is obviously much more difficult than playing them at home. But against that, last year they only had a week between winning the county title and playing their first round in Leinster. So they've 2 weeks now. I presume they'll enjoy the rest of this week, get together next weekend, and then build up for that game. And, like, again, we're talking to a couple of players afterwards, and they were trying to pay all the usual compliments to Port Laois and said it was by far and away the toughest game they played in Leinster last year, but they still won handsomely. So it goes to show you just how strong Vincent's were and probably still are.
Yeah, indeed. Right, let's move to senior hurling. Kilmacock Crofts picking up their second senior hurling title in 3 years, beating first time final St Jude's. But I suppose in normal time, this was a game that Jude's could and possibly should have won.
Yeah, I was talking to Niall Corcoran during the week, and he said he was absolutely sure that the game was done and dusted. There were 2 points down in injury time, and they should have lost the game. But it's actually, you know, obviously, it's a testament to the team that they came back and levelled it. And in that sort of situation, not only the team that comes from behind, but also the team with more experience of playing in county finals tends to win these things. But it was pretty tough on Jude's. But again, like, much like the football, you kind of have to say that the better team won. Like, I think there was 11 different scorers from Crokes. And at one stage, I think in the 68-minute, Jude's had only had 2. And it was Danny Sutcliffe and Sean O'Rean Breen, who was very good on freeze. So, you know, I think Crokes were probably the better team. Albeit they gave away an awful lot of sloppy frees, they couldn't really handle Sutcliffe, who played really, really well, and they were a little bit shaky in front of goal. But you know, they're a team that, you know, I suppose if you go through it, you know, Ryan O'Dwyer is obviously a Dublin senior, Niall Corcoran is a Dublin senior, Rafa Carroll absolutely would be a Dublin senior if he you know, presumably he can get his fitness issues correct. But outside of that, you know, they're the sort of team that have an awful lot of really good players, an awful lot of really good positions without having too many stars. Like, obviously, Shawnee McGrath took a goal very well. There's probably a few fellas like Oisin O'Rourke and Cian McGowan that I'm sure Jerry Cunningham would be looking at last year, but they're a very solid team. And the fact that they have right down the Errol, a Laois team, without knowing anything about a Laois team, and not to do them down in any way, but the fact that they have them forced up and they have them in Parnell Park would suggest they could probably make a bit of a go of this Leinster campaign, which, unlike the football, in stark contrast to the football, Dublin teams have been pretty awful in over the last sort of 10 years or so.
Yeah, yeah, you mentioned that as well. The idea that, I suppose, the only victory that either a Dublin or a Laois team has secured is against Clonkill of Westmeath in the last five Leinster championships. So I suppose, as you say, it's really about, if they could get a victory this weekend, it's about attempting to build some sort of momentum for a Dublin club in terms of the Leinster Hurling Championship.
Yeah, now they'll have the Kilkenny champions away, I think, in the semi-final, so it's going to take something pretty special to do it. But like 2 years ago when they were in the Leinster, they should have beaten Eilert Abala in Parnell Park, and they lost by a point, and they were brilliant at that. Really, really good. And they have sort of warriors for the trenches, like, you know, even, you know, Bill and Rory O'Carroll, you know, they're the sort of guys that, you know, they're not going to sit around and consider Dublin's poor record in the Leinster Hurling Club Championship. But, you know, there's no doubt about it, it has been a very bad hunting ground for Dublin clubs. Like Ballyboden, they're obviously an exceptional team, doing five Dublin county titles in a row, and I think it was either their first or their second county title that they got closest when they lost to Bore in Tullamore by just a point or two. But after that, they had some really, really bad performances and some really bad defeats when they came through Dublin. So and then, like, it hasn't always been at the hands of the Kilkenny champions, which was obviously, you'd see, as being the big stumbling block for Dublin clubs. But no, I think Crokes will be ambitious, you know, and, you know, there is that sort of, you know, the cliche is cockiness, but I wouldn't say it's cockiness, you know, they have that kind of, the air of confidence around themselves, and, you know, they won't be particularly balking at any challenge, you know. I mean, Rathdowney Errol or, you know, Ballyhale Shamrocks, they'll definitely approach each game the same, but, you know, whether they could do it over the course of the Leinster campaign, I don't know. But, you know, obviously what worked out well for them was that they had their game on the Friday, the bank holiday, and they'll have gotten their head around it, and they'll already be in good preparation. And in Parnell Park, you know, you'd certainly expect them to come through this weekend, but thereafter, it's very hard to see what chance they have.
Yeah, and I suppose if Crokes were looking for inspiration, you could look to last year's Leinster Hurling Club Hurling Championship. I mean, obviously, you're traditionally looking at the Offaly, Kilkenny, and possibly a Wexford club as well to win it. But Mount Leinster Rangers showed last year that sort of one of the county's weaker club hurling counties can possibly spring up a winner.
Yeah, yeah, I hadn't really considered that, but it's very true. It's very true. And, you know, Crokes, yeah, I mean, that's the sort of thing that if they were looking for inspiration. But again, you know, I think they'd be very self-contained. You know, it's an interesting mix, I would imagine, you know, Kilmacud Crokes hurlers and Ollie Baker as manager, you know, kind of the very old school of hurling and the very kind of new school of hurling, particularly in Dublin. But he's obviously done a very good job with them, and, you know, they beat some really good teams. They're definitely justifiable county champions, even though, you know, they're a little bit unlucky to get out of jail. But you know, and even in extra time the last day, they were much, much better. And, you know, Russell Carroll, I think in particular, is the sort of fella that Jerry Cunningham is going to be looking to get into the team, because he really is a warrior. He got the goal in normal time to bring them back into it. He set up the goal in extra time to win them the game. And, you know, if he gets into any sort of vein of form over the next couple of weeks, you know, it's going to be a very hard man to mark.
Indeed, and hopefully Kilmacud can do something in that championship game taking place this Sunday. And remember that the game throws in at 2:30. I'm actually not sure off the top of my head what the price of tickets are, but I imagine going by last week it'll be somewhere in the region of 10 or 15 euro. But it's a great occasion for Kilmacud Crokes. We know how hard they've worked out there in Kilmacud to attempt to get this far, and a second title in 3 years is promising, and hopefully they can get the results that we all hope they do as they take on Rathdowney Errol on Sunday afternoon. And we're going to be covering that on the Ball with myself and Declan Hughes on Sunday. Excuse me, but I'm afraid that is all we have time for here on GAA Sports Desk this evening. But before I go, I want to remind you that the M. Donnelly GAA Wheelchair Hurling Interprovincial Finals will be held in IT Sligo this Saturday, November 1st at 11 a.m. And the competition marks the end of a busy and successful season for the first wheelchair hurling year in the GAA Games calendar. For more information about the Interprovincial Wheelchair Hurling Finals, contact Tony on 065-8692, or you can email inclusion@gaa.ie. So that's 865-8692. and that's or email inclusion@ga.ie, and that's a Dublin number. And also to remind you that tickets are now available for Nafina's Jack and the Beanstalk Panto, which is coming up in the club on the weekend of December 12th to 14th. And there's a rumour going around that Johnny Cooper might be taking part in it. I can't confirm or deny this, but if you are interested in it and you want to head out there, you can indeed. And you can email panto@clgnafina.ie to attempt to order your tickets. And there's further information from Cormac on 086 811 6809. But that is all we have time for on GAA Sports Desk this evening. And the sport continues on Dublin City FM. The Sporting Choice with Keane O'Callaghan is on tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And tune in to myself and Declan Hughes on the Ball on Sunday. I'm going to be having an exclusive interview with Eamon Fennell on that show. And stay tuned to GAA Sports Desk this evening, as Suzanne Parker is on Artbeat duty tonight. And she's going to be talking to Eamon O'Neill from Circus of Seven about the launch of their new album, Sunday School Show. So that's coming up next here on Dublin City FM. But from myself, Suzanne Parker and Katie Scanlon on sound, have a good evening.